I'm expecting great things, man. I'm telling you what. Whenever we get close to camp time, it's just like the expectancy, the faith just begins to stir up, doesn't it? How many of you guys feel like your faith is stirring up right now? You know, we just begin to just stir the pot of our faith and our what we're believing Him for, and all of a sudden, we just start to sense His presence in greater ways. Amen? You know, I remember when I was a young man, you know, like 16, 17, and I still believed in Santa Claus. You know, I'm just kidding. I was younger than that. But you know, you get up early in the morning when you, you know, celebrated pagan holidays like I did because I wasn't a believer. I made Christmas into a pagan holiday. It's not a pagan holiday. It shouldn't be. But I made it into one because I believe the lie that Santa existed and I would expect him to come every year. Of course, presents would show up. And, you know, when my expectations were great, it was great when I got what I was expecting. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't so great when I didn't get what I was expecting. You know, I remember years where I thought I was going to get certain things and I kind of had these high hopes for, you know, like a Porsche, and it didn't happen. And I'm like, dude, I got gypped this year. Did I really, you know? I don't know. I probably didn't need a Porsche when I was 14. You probably don't need a Porsche at 14 either. But you know, I was expecting it. And I was really disappointed when I didn't get exactly what I wanted. It didn't come the way I wanted it to come. You know? But man, there was other times when I was believing God for that, or no, just Santa at this time, for that Cabbage Patch doll. You know? The ones that look like this. You guys ever seen those? Dude, okay, I never wanted a Cabbage Patch doll, but I did want a lot of G.I. Joes, man. Because I was down with G.I. Joes. How many guys ever liked G.I. Joes? Now, when I was young, G.I. Joes were in. They were hip, dude. If you had G.I. Joes, you were something. And dude, I'm telling you what, I was hoping for, you know, Cobra Commander and, you know, all the other, you know, like Leathered Neck and Firefly and Swamp Thing and, you know, Bigfoot. I got all of them. I got all of them that year. You know, I got all the ones I wanted. I'm telling you what, it was awesome. But you know, I had my expectations actually set on something that was realistic for me, other than the Porsche, you know, or, man, you guys don't want to know the other things I was expecting for Christmas. I was hoping for a girlfriend one year. A lot of years hoping for that one. It wasn't until I got saved that I actually got a girlfriend, praise God. I didn't actually get a girlfriend, I just got a wife. Tell you what, dude, wives are better than girlfriends any day. I don't actually believe in girlfriends, but that's a different message. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Come camp time, I tell you what, it's a good thing to be expecting something good. Mark 5, verse 25, a woman who had a hemorrhage, say, hemorrhage. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a hemorrhage? If you do, don't respond. For 12 years, she had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was not helped at all. How many of you guys ever feel that way? Yeah. You just try everything you can do and you go get help from every little Ouija, Wooju, doctor thingy you can find and go on the internet and try to get what you need. But you don't get it, do you? You come to an end and There's nothing there. Everything you were hoping for does not come to pass. You are not fulfilled, healed, delivered, sanctified, saved, prosperous, are you? Doesn't come that way. But then all of a sudden, she hears about Jesus, verse 27. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and she touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power that had proceeded from him had gone forth, and he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd is pressing on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Look in John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus says this to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name," say whatever.
Whatever
"you ask in my name, that I will do." Right? Right? It's good because it's in there somewhere and I don't know where it is. All right. Somehow my lazy eye took over there and it was like went in double. All right. "The works that you do, he will do also, and the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's a good part of that story right there. Wow. Anything you ask, say anything. Whatever. That's right. Anything, whatever. These are great words when Jesus follows them up and says, "I'll do them all for you." Right? He's just like, Santa's list ain't got nothing on this scripture. Nothing. Especially since it doesn't exist.
Sorry to crush your dreams and hopes. Yeah, some guys over here in the corner are crying. They'll be okay.
Look, whatever you ask, anything you ask in Jesus' name will be done for you. And even greater things, Jesus said. Even greater things than what the disciples saw Jesus do. He said, "You're going to do even greater things." If what? If you ask in my name, right? Whatever. Whatever. Expect. Whatever you expect, come on. Whatever you have faith for. See, the woman who was crawling up to Jesus from behind. You're like, he's a freak. You're right, I'm a freak. The woman who was crawling up behind Jesus, you know what she's thinking in her mind? She's got one thing on her mind. And it's not all the juju doctors and witch doctors and internet psychiatrists that she went to. I wonder what Dr. Phil would say about me going up to Jesus. No. She heard about Jesus. She believed and she understood who Jesus was. She believed that Jesus was her healer. She expected that Jesus would heal her. She's crawling, pressing through the crowd. She's pulling on old ladies' ponytails, knocking them out of the way, diving in to get to Jesus. Why? Because she expected that if she just touched him, she would be healed. See, her expectations were in the right place, with the right motive, and on the right thing. See, now her expectations were on Jesus and what he could do. And what did he say? He said, look, anything you ask upon my name, upon my sacrifice, upon what I have laid down for you, my Father will do it for you in heaven. See, but when we start to put our expectations in the wrong things, like the things the woman was looking at earlier, right? Or in her own ways, it doesn't happen. We don't get anything. But see, Jesus turns around to that woman who had been struggling for so many years, and what does he say to her? He says, go. Your expectation, your faith, your belief, your understanding and belief in who I am, and your faith and action to reach out and press in to find me and to get that thing, that has made you well. See, when Jesus said that her faith made her well, he knows that it wasn't just her faith of standing in the back of the crowd and just going, oh, if I just breathe the same air that Jesus breathed, I'll be saved. I'll be healed. Just stay here in the back of the crowd. No, she pressed in. She clawed through. She went through all of the adversity and the circumstances that were in between her and Jesus, and she just got after it, and she got up there. She got what she wanted. How many of you guys want to get what you want? Yeah, not that Porsche, not those G.I. Joes, but you want to get the healing in your heart, the deliverance, the freedom from the oppression, the freedom from all of the brokenness. Come on, you want to achieve, you want to get your destiny. You want to achieve the thing that God has set in your heart for you to achieve. You've got to believe. You've got to expect. You've got to believe. You got to understand who Jesus is. Look, he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator of all things. Nothing was created that wasn't through Jesus. Everything came through Jesus. Even Satan was created. Even Lucifer was created through Jesus. Everything. Man. You think that the everything he created, he can fix? He created it with just a word.
Word.
The earth.
Word.
The skies, man. The stars. The universe, man. We study the universe. We have all these crazy programs about like sending billion-dollar telescopes like 7 million miles into outer space. And you're like, wow. He's just like,
word,
right? And then it just happens, human,
word,
bam, I'm alive, right? He's just like, what next, you know? This author's like, this is good. That was good, right? I mean, seriously, if you think about the complexity of the things God does, it's amazing. But if you think about the simplicity of what it takes for you and me to access that kind of complexity, that kind of power. Now that in itself is an amazing thing. He says, look, to access my incredible, all-transforming, all-creating, can get anything, whatever, do anything power, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is ask. That's simple. But man, the way the Lord, the way the Lord carries it out, there's a lot of spit coming out. The way the Lord carries that out, it might be complex. You might not be able to understand or even fathom how He can make it work. I bought a house one time. I bought a fourplex one time, and I was believing God for this. I'd just come out of college. I had nothing. I had zero to my name. I had a bunch of college debt. I barely even had a penny in my savings account. I had good credit because I was a good steward. And I had a lot of faith. My wife and I began to pray. Of course, we've been laboring in prayer for God to bless us and to bless our finances and to move in our life, right? So all that we feel like it's the time, and we go in and we start praying and believing God, expecting that God is going to do a miracle and get us a fourplex, an income property, right? Because you just don't live on what pastors make, okay? You just don't eat and feed gigantic families like I have on what you make, okay? So you have to have something else. So I'm believing God for it. We ask the Lord that the first place that we look at would be the one, and we just go, Lord God, if you can do this, all we got to do is ask. Why would we not ask you for that? We're slamming busy in the ministry. We just did not have time to go research all this stuff. So we go in, and there's no properties that we're looking at in the, you know, in the paper, in the real estate, you know, niche. So she goes back and into her office, and a brand new property prints out while we're sitting in her office. Comes back. All the numbers work. It's in the perfect location that we want. We run down there. The lady happens to be at her investment her income property the same time that we drive up there. Within the hour, we're the first ones to put, a bid in on the property, right? We make an offer. Within the hour of it coming out on the market, we made an offer. We go and we sit down. There was like three other offers, like within the hour after we had put ours in. It was a hot property, right? So, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just believing God for it. We go into the closing table. I put no money down on this place. They write me a check for $4,600, and I go remodel my new apartment. This just doesn't happen. You know, after, you know, 3 or 4 years of owning that property, it turned into, you know, it increased probably about 60%, right? It was ridiculous, and the Lord just continued to provide from there. But look, that doesn't make any sense. I can't figure that out. I can't make that happen with my own mind or go to business school and sort out real estate school and all this stuff and make myself, you know, successful financially. It doesn't make sense for me to give 10% of what I make when I can't even survive on the 100% that I earn. Being a good steward. That doesn't make any sense, but I've done it my whole life. I used to make $2.13 an hour, but I was faithful to give. Going to college, had a kid, all right? I'm making $2.13 an hour, and I got a raise. I was making $4.35. I was raking it in. I had cardboard for furniture. It was awesome. And every single month, God provided. Every single month, every single year has just been another year of increase, another month of increase. It just continues to come. Not only that, God continues to bless my family. Just continues to increase and grow. Bless God. I get new kids almost every year, praise God. There's no greater gift. That's a great gift. I thank my wife for those gifts. Thank God for that gift. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own. Say own. See, my own understanding. Don't understand. Don't understand. Squat. Lean not on your own understanding. See, because you need to trust in the Lord, because your own understanding is what is going to hold you back from expecting a miracle from God. It isn't, you're not going to be able to understand it. It's too complex for you to understand. You got to stick where it's simple, because Jesus said that a simple, childlike faith, right, is the kind of faith that is going to move mountains, that's going to shake nations. Not you having some complex theological understanding of everything that's ever been rooted in the Hebraic and Greek scriptures. Come on, you don't have to know Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and all these other things to have great faith. And to stir up that great faith and to see God move in tremendous, powerful ways in your life. It's simple and complex. It's hard and easy all at the same time, and it's awesome. See, God does the hard part, the complex part, and we get to do the simple part. Now, see, sometimes that simpleness is difficult for us. Because it's so simple. Lord, could it be that easy? Seriously, Lord, I need to know how to figure it out. It must be done in some complex matter. I know it to be true. No, Mater, it don't, says God. It don't have to be complex, Mater. You just have to believe and receive. Okay, listen, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. I love this scripture. I love this passage right here. Seriously, you need to turn your Bibles there. I'm not kidding right now. Go there. Come on. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a story of Naaman. The story of Naaman. See, Naaman was an interesting guy. He was working for this king, the king of Aram, and he was a captain in his army, and he had leprosy. Obviously, if you have leprosy, you're a desperate individual. He's got some Israelite slave girl working for him. She says, look, you need to go see the prophet. So Naaman goes, I'll go see him. He packs up all his gear and all his peeps and jumps on his chariot, rolls his way out to the prophet's house. He goes and sees Elisha. Elisha, the prophet. He's checking out Elisha's house and he's like, dude, come out and see me. So, you know, he actually sends some warning to the king before he goes. And, you know, the king gets really fired up and angry that this dude's coming into town to tap into his prophet. And Elijah goes to the king and he goes, you know what? Let this guy come. And I'll show him that there's a prophet in Israel. That God is real. I'm going to rock his world. That's what he's saying. He's like, look, bring on this pagan heathen dude. He's needy, and we're going to show him that our God is real. That's what he's telling him. So he allows him to come in, and he's knocking at Elisha's door. And it's this simple. This is where the story gets really funny. Okay, verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. It happened when Elisha, the man, heard of the king of Israel, had torn his clothes, and he sent word to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with the horses and chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha sent the messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now look, he doesn't even come out. He never even gets to see him. He's looking through his little peephole, and he goes, you go out and tell him, right? He goes, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious, and he went away, and he said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and meet me in my great splendor and stand and call on the name of his Lord God. And then he would wave his hand over me. Right? And then in the place and cure the leprosy. Or well, over the place of the leprosy and cure it, right? It's weird, worded weird in my Bible, okay? Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not just wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in rage. He's just throwing a little tantrum, isn't he? Like, I don't want him. I want it my way. Now, there's some important words in here. Naaman goes, behold, I thought. I did that once and it hurt. Try not to do that too often. It's hilarious. Naaman just busts out into Elisha's house, the prophet of Israel, basically coming into the presence of God. He wants to encounter the presence of God, right? And he thought. He expected it to happen the way he thought it would happen. Now see, there's interesting things here. He expected that God would heal him. That's good. That's the only reason he was there, and that's the only reason Elisha would even talk to the guy. Well, he didn't, or even send his messenger out to talk to him. But Elisha, by the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to rock Naaman's world. Just turn him all upside down. And show him that, look, this ain't about you. This just has nothing to do with what you do. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with who God is. That's it. And all the time, God wants to show himself great. Not show Naaman great or pastors great or all these people great, right? He wants to show himself great. So look, Naaman has all these preconceived ideas, these expectations about how God should deliver him from his healing. I just think that's funny, actually. But you know, the funny thing is that we do the same thing, don't we? Oh, if God's going to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, then I must be touched by the man of God himself. And then I must shiver and shake and flop all over the ground and roll 28 times. In fact, I should roll unconsciously, not even knowing it, and make the number 7. 7-7, I should do it 3 times because that's godly. Yeah. All in the spirit without anything to do with me. Because that'd be the Lord. I believe an angel. I should see his hand. He should grab my tongue and flap it so hard my whole body moves. And then I'll speak in tongues. Bless God. My belly button should turn on fire and I'll go bouncing on people and they'll get healed. Yeah, bless God. Right? He should wave his arm over my leprosy. And it should be healed the way I thought it should be done. Elijah's in there going, let's see how he likes this. He sends out his peanut boy. Right? The least likely goober peanut kid. Probably in junior high, running out there.
The prophet Elisha says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times.
Runs back in. He's like, what? You gotta be kidding me. Right? You're not gonna take in a bath in my house. Why did I have to come down here for your little peanut boy to tell me to take a bath in your river? It's twice as dirty as mine. I saw that other dude peeing this upstream. I'm not getting in. Right? So what happens? He's cruising down. He's all fired up on his chariot. Roar, raging with anger.
Behold thy thought.
Verse 13. Then his servant came and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to go do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, he says to you, wash and be clean. Right? See, this is an interesting thing about our human nature. And you know, all mythology is all wrapped up into this whole same concept, is that Zeus, the great god of thunder, says to Hercules, go, my son, slay 10,000 giants. Climb up the apple tree 50,000 times with your toes. Right? Go strangle the really ugly chick down in Hades and wrestle her dog. Right? Try not to get turned to stone. Then come back and, you know, then maybe I'll throw you a party. Right? Then he gets his ultimate destiny or whatever it is, right? It's always some great adventure and some great expedition. It's some humongous thing to overcome so then you can get your reward. See, that's how we picture it. That's our human nature. It desires to work it all out and just to get it ourselves. Then it should have to be some great thing, or we have to have some great prophet or some great, you know, traveling evangelist come in from out of town just so that we can receive healing or blessings or be saved or whatever. Throughout all church history, the church has struggled with this issue. It started in the time of Constantine, guys. It started when Catholicism was born, when it became a state religion. Look, it was the worst thing that ever happened to the church, is that we institutionalized everything. You know, institutionalizing our faith, institutionalizing it in some church, putting it in some pastor, putting it in some program, putting it in Generation Ministries, guys. This is sin. That's not where it comes from. It's not. Elijah's like, look, it's not about me. It's not about my little goober peanut guy. It's about our God. He's going to send you to go do something simple and ridiculous. And that way, he gets all the glory. So you're not confused. You're not confused. Most of the time, I hear people like, is that really it? Could that be, that's all it is? That's all I have to do? For me to be healed, all I have to do is repent for my own sin? For me to be healed, all I have to do is repent for my bitterness? All I have to do is start really forgiving other people? What? Can it be that simple? Simple prayers? No. No, it's got to be some great adventure. I must have to go fast and pray for 47 days. You know? And I must have to lay on shards of glass and like walk up and down the temple courts like 5,000 times this year. Or there's just no way that God can move in my life. It was just something simple. You mean all I have to do is just give it up? All I have to do is really just give it to the Lord? Just surrender it to Him and say, God, forgive me? God, I'm sorry. I repent. Change me. Heal me. It's that easy? Boy. Could it be? What happens to Naaman? All of a sudden, Naaman gets some sense knocked into him by his servant, who was pretty wise. And he went down and he dipped himself in 7 times according to the word of the man of God. According to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. When he returned to the man of God with
all of his company, he came and stood before him. Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Take a present from your servant now, he said. As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings, nor will he sacrifice to other gods. Right? So Naaman does what? He gets it. Look, there's no other God. There's only one way. It's this simple, ridiculous expectation and obedience in what the Lord has. Look, we can't be disappointed in the Lord and disillusioned because it doesn't work out the way we thought it should work out. See, I don't think that Joshua, when he decided to go across the Jordan River and into Jericho, right? I bet you he didn't think that he was going to take the first city by walking around it and doing nothing else. I guarantee that when Gideon decided to obey the Lord and rise up and stand for Israel, he didn't think God was going to whittle his army down to 300 men against thousands. And he didn't think that he would never even have to lift a sword, but the whole enemy would be decimated and flee in fear. You see, God just wants us to hear, to believe, and to simply obey his word. See, when we do that with great expectation, miracles take place. Unbelievable things will happen in your life. In every realm. See, it's surrender it all. You surrender it all in every single area. And you come with great expectation in every single area. And look, you expect that God is. That he is who he is. That he's the great I am. Not the great I am not. Right? He can do all things. And you can do all things through Christ. Right? Who strengthens you to do them. It's in your faith, in your action in that faith, that you believe that he is God and that he can do all things, right? And that you expect that he will do it. You don't just believe, well, he's God, and, well, bless God, happens for other people. Right? No. Look, he wants to do it in your life. You don't only just believe that he can do it. You need to believe that he will do it. The woman who walked up behind Jesus, she knew she would be healed. She believed it. She knew that if she went to the source of all life, Jesus, she would be healed. She didn't know how she was going to be healed. She didn't know how Jesus was going to actually physically heal her body. And deliver her. She didn't know. She didn't even know when. She didn't know when he was going to heal her. But she knew that he would. See, now look. There's a right place to place your expectations. And there's a wrong place to place your expectations. Naaman put his expectations in the wrong place. He put his expectations in how God would sort it out. How God would heal him. How the prophet would do it. Right? And when he would do it. Now look, if you start putting your expectations in these places, you're going to get really discouraged. You're going to get really disappointed. Because the Lord goes, whoa, hold on a second. Am I God? You know, I'm just looking around here for a second. I'm wondering. I think I'm God. I don't think you became God any time in between, like, you know, the last few minutes. And I don't think that you're the one that really gets to establish how I'm going to transform your body, take your leg that's too short and grow it out. I don't think you really even understand how that leg stays alive. So how are you really going to make that thing grow? Right? Look, we just got to be realistic about our position and who we are. We are the created. Right? We need to put our expectations in the one who created us. And not worry about how he's going to take care of it. How he's going to do it. I didn't know how God was going to provide for me and my house and my housing situations. I don't know how. I didn't know how God was going to provide that fourplex for me. I don't know how half the things in this world, more than that, even work or happen. How God makes them happen and keeps all the planets spinning around and in line. Right? Do you know?
No, I don't think you do.
So look, is it like 5 million degrees in here? What the heck happened? It's all right. Remember, we're burning calories. You're still a winner. Whatever happens, as you don't have to be good at basketball or sports or even good at sitting in church. If you're burning calories, you win. That's my philosophy. All right. You're a wiener. Okay, I'm going to wrap this message up because all you guys are about to fall into comas. I see you sweat actually pouring from your faces. It's awesome. I think it's coming from mine. That was sweat, all right. Tastes a little bit like a mocha. All right, come on, are you with me tonight? Will you stand up with me? Just stand up. Maybe if we had one person run around really fast, it would start, of course you'd get really hot, but we'd start maybe getting a little bit cooler. Come on, I'm expecting something great at camp this year. I'm expecting God to transform us. I'm expecting you to all look different. Maybe not physically on the outside, but I'm expecting that physically on the inside that you're going to be changed. That there is going physically on the inside. That was great, wasn't it? I'm expecting that on the inside, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, you're going to be transformed. God's going to rewire you at camp. Places where you had unbelief, you're going to have faith. Places where you had brokenness and a broken heart, you're going to have healing and a healed heart. Is anybody excited about that? Come on. That's exciting to me. You're going to encounter the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're going to walk into his presence and you're going to walk out never the same, forever changed into eternity. These are good things. But listen, your expectations have got to be set high. Because what you expect is what you're going to get. You expect to only have some fun. You're only going to have some fun. You expect to only, hear some good messages, and just kind of have a little good time there, Then that's all you're going to get. But dude, I'm telling you, if you expect God to absolutely rock your world, to rock your cashbah, rock the cashbah, rock the cashbah. Come on. Your spiritual cashbah, wherever that might be, somewhere here, I might imagine. Right? It's right in there when you start rocking into. Right? Cashbah's doing good today. Dadgummit, let's have a good time at camp. And let's get everything we can get. You cannot think in any way, that you're not going to get anything. You have to stir up your heart, your faith, that you're going to get everything. And you've got to start asking for whatever. For everything. When I ask the Lord for stuff, I don't ask for second-rate, shabby things because I think, oh, I'm just not good enough. No, dadgummit, you're worth it. I'm worth it to God. And you're worth it to Him for you to expect great things. The greatest things. And you need to be asking that every blessing that God has for you begins to pour out on you when you go to camp. Listen, camp is no special thing. The special thing.
What? Oh, no. Oh, no.
No. Camp. The campground. Good memories. Cool place. The thing that is special about camp is what happens at camp. See? The thing that's special about camp is everything that we expect from Him. That's what's special about camp. Because if we expect it from Him, it happens. It happens. You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You want to speak in tongues? It's going to happen. It already did happen for some of you. You want to be healed? It's going to happen. Now listen, it might not happen the way you thought it should happen. All right? Stop trying to figure out or set up, it should happen this way. I should feel this way. You can be deep and thick in the presence of God and not even feel it. Happens to me all the time. God doesn't have to walk your hand and hold your hand across the street your whole life. Oh, Daddy, I can't make it across the street without your presence. No. Look, you can walk in the power of God. There's been times when I prayed for people. One time we prayed for this girl. She's going to be at camp. Her knee, her tendon in her knee was completely separated. Completely off. We laid hands on her. I didn't even feel the presence of God. We just believed in faith. We stirred up our faith. We laid our hands on her. Guess what happened? She got healed. They got connected. She went and got an MRI the next day, and it was completely healed. All tightened up, everything. She's like, rock the Kashbah, rock the Kashbah. Dude, it's awesome. Come on. There's a lot of things. Man, it's hot in here. Dadgummit, I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep preaching until sweat is actually dripping off. I'm just kidding. Praise God. So listen, if you know anybody that's been wavering and like, oh, I think I might go to camp, you know, I don't know. Look, you need to grab them by the ears. You need to pay for them if they don't have money. Listen, and you need to drag them to camp. You need to take their permission slips to their parents. You need to get their parents to sign them. You need to drug them, blindfold them, beat them over the head with a billy club, stick them in the back of your trunk, drag them to camp, stick them on the bus like B.A. Baracus. Let them wake up right out of camp. You guys already know who B.A. Baracus is, do you? The A-Team? For the love of everything sacred, you've never seen the A-Team. Tommy, nobody in here even has ever heard of it. You've heard of the A-Team? Jason knows the A-Team. Praise God. They used to knock out Mr. T. You guys know who Mr. T is? Yeah, I pity the fool, right? Pity the fool who knocks me out and puts me on an airplane. He never liked to fly on airplanes. Listen, it don't matter, but they got him everywhere he needed to go. You can get your friends to camp. We've still got plenty of spaces, guys, for everybody you want to bring. If you are wavering, you shouldn't be wavering. You need to just go. You just need to go. If money's an issue, listen, we're going to work it out. Bring your $5, bring $100, bring $125, bring $700 if you can pay $700 and help other people come. Do it. Bring your camos and your happy face and your expectations, and God is going to bless us. Lift your hands and let's pray. If you want to lift your hands, if you want to believe God for something, you want to expect something great, something new, something fresh, you want a refreshing from the Lord, tomorrow it's going to happen. Amen. The next day it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day because we're there for 6 days. Yeah! So God, in Jesus' name, we lift you high. We exalt your name. You say that whatever we ask, anything we ask, you will do it. So we just lift you on high and we ask for your Spirit to pour out. God, we expect from you to change our lives. We expect you to save our souls. We expect you to fill us with your Spirit. We expect you to heal our hearts. We expect you to transform our minds, to renew our minds. We expect you to heal bodies. We expect you to build relationships. We expect you to just change the way that we live. We expect you to give us a deep and sincere motivation to worship you, to trade our lives for you, to live our lives for something that's worth it. Lord God, you are good, and we expect all good things from you. Today, now, we ask that every blessing that you have for us would come down from heaven upon us. It would fill us. It would change us. It would rock us. God, that your presence would be thick and soupy and good and deep and awesome at camp. We could hardly walk in it at camp. God, I'm asking that every single one of us would just be so blasted by your Spirit, God, that we couldn't even move in Jesus' name. God, it's thick like peanut butter thick. God, we're believing you. But God, we don't care how you do it or what you actually want to do, God. We don't care when you do it in our lives, God, but we're believing that and we're expecting that it's going to happen. It's going to start in this camp in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.